The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, starting with the first verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, 'Hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of your Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, "We are delivered," only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin. The table of duties to widows. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. 1 Timothy 5, 5-6. To everyone, the commandments are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:9. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. 1 Timothy 2:1. Let each his lesson learn with care, and all the household well shall fare. Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 9, starting with the 30th verse. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I would ask the children to come down front here and join me. All right. Good morning. You guys can sit right there if you'd like to on the kneeling bench. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on up, join the party. Good. So I have some pictures to show you guys this morning. But before I do that, I just want to see if somebody, and you know, you were here earlier, so there we go. So who can tell me what the word, what it means to be distracted? Who can tell me what that means? You're not focusing on what you should be. Can you give me an example of that? So look at this first picture I have for you guys. Okay, you see that picture? What's happening here? Can you tell me what you see? This is just what you were talking about. What's going on there? Yeah, so the teacher's up there teaching, and what's the kid doing? What's that little boy doing? Yeah, he's not really paying attention, right? He's not paying attention to what's going on. Here's another one. Look at this one. Yeah, see that one? So what's that little guy doing there? Not watching. Yeah, there's somebody sitting there trying to teach him about something, but instead he's kind of looking up at the ceiling, not really paying much attention to what's going on, right? Here's one more I got for you. Look at that one. Now, who's distracted in that picture? Yeah, there's like a mom there, and it looks like she's, there they are, it looks like they're eating breakfast, and she's distracted. She's on her phone. You see her, she's got her phone cradled here, and she's looking at her computer, and there sits her daughter, and she's trying to feed her all at the same time. Lots of distractions there, right? Yeah, so sometimes... So when you're at home and mom and dad says that you need to go clean your room or something like that, what happens sometimes? What are you doing? Do you always listen and go do that when you're told to? What are you doing sometimes when they want you to do that? Maybe you're playing a video game. If you have a phone, you're looking at your phone. You're distracted, right? We're not listening to what mom and dad are telling us to do. So this is a thing that we do as sinners. It's easy for us to do this. And sometimes here, we get so distracted. We don't listen to God's word as we should. And you know why that is? We break the first commandment often. We don't fear and love and trust in God above all things. And we get distracted with everything else that's going on with us. And then when we're distracted and our parents are trying to tell us to do something, what commandment are we breaking when that happens? The fourth commandment. Very good. The fourth commandment. Right. But here's the good news. Turn around and look at that cross right there. Look at that. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again because even of our sins of distraction. And even when we don't listen and we don't do what we're supposed to do, and we're not always hearing hearing those things that our parents are telling us and what God is saying to us in His Word too. When we get so turned away and we get distracted. The good news is that He loves us. He cares for us even in that. In the waters of your baptism, He died for all of those sins there, and He drowned those sins there in your baptism. What a great gift that is that we have. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, we thank You today that You love us and You forgive us. Even when we don't hear and we're distracted sometimes. Thank You, Lord, for dying for our sins and rising again for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody, for coming up. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what are you thinking about, like right now? Where's your mind at this moment? You know, maybe 5 minutes into my sermon, you'll hear the sound of my voice, but you're not really listening because your mind will be so abuzz with so many things that other things that you're thinking about. Maybe one of the things you're thinking about is your stomach is growling, you're thinking about where you're going to go for lunch after church. Or that you have things you got to get done today. You got a busy week coming up next week, and this is your day to get out and get some errands done and buy some groceries and all those things that you have to do. You're preoccupied with all of those things for the upcoming week. Could be that you're even hoping that my sermon's going to be short, so you can get to lunch and do all those other things that you need to do. You're distracted. I'm distracted. It happens to all of us. The people in our gospel text that we read today are distracted too. They've been distracted by their own sense of what a Messiah is supposed to look like. Surely many of them were thinking that this Jesus is going to set up his throne right there in Jerusalem. And even as they're welcoming him into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, he's going to come and set things right. But it's not going to happen like how they think of it. Here's Jesus, his reign has now come, and they cannot see him. These people, the Jews, would reject the Messiah that was sent to them. Jesus weeps here because they did not know the time of their visitation. For the faithful, this visitation is a wonderful gospel event, for he is bringing salvation here to the world upon the cross. But not so for unbelievers. They were distracted. This visitation is hidden from their eyes because they weren't really paying attention to what was going on and what was about to happen. Jesus comes to establish his reign and make peace for the world with the Father. At this point in time in Luke's gospel, Jesus' Galilean ministry is over. His journey to Jerusalem is history. Now he must complete this journey to the cross. This is what he was born to do. Along the way, he was hounded by the Pharisees and others of the religious elite, undoubtedly exhausted and frustrated. Here he laments and mourns over this city, over Jerusalem, the city of the prophets, the city of the Holy Temple, the city of David. He weeps over them because of their rejection of him. These ones who welcome him into the city, waving the palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," will stand by in silence when at the end of the week he will be nailed to the cross. Just like in the parable of the vineyard, the workers reject and kill the son who was sent to represent the owner. Again, we read here that they did not know the time of their visitation. You know, even the blind beggar knew who Jesus was. They did not understand God's gracious visit in his son. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that today is the day of salvation. God's desire is that no one should perish, but that all should be saved. This lament from Jesus is the culmination of all the law and the prophets. As the Son of God, the perfect Lamb will soon be slaughtered as the bloody sacrifice for our sins. Jesus here further prophesies of the tragedy that will take place nearly 70 years later. The city of Jerusalem, the city of the prophets, will be destroyed. Of their enemies that will lay siege to them, Jesus says, they will not leave one stone upon another in you. The city of the prophets would suffer destruction because of their rejection of Jesus. The builders have rejected the cornerstone. How often are we so blinded and distracted, not hearing the voice of the one who still calls to us today through his word? How often do we ignore God's great gifts that he has here for us? Do we see how our sinful minds take us everywhere else but on God's gifts? He tells us again that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The love he has for us is boundless. It will never change. He is not fickle like we are. He doesn't change his mind. But oftentimes, we leave him. We forsake him. We are blinded by our sin and cannot see God right here with us. We chase after every other fleeting thing but that of the things of God. We can't see the one who has come to bring peace. Again, back to our text here in the gospel, we see one of the things that Jesus accomplishes in Jerusalem. He goes to the temple and drives out the money changers, declaring that his house will be known as a house of prayer. The temple here is cleansed by the very presence of the Son of God. It is here in the temple that he teaches, as his enemies still conspire on how to get rid of him these next few days. But Luke tells us that their hands were tied because so many were still listening to his teachings. They were hanging on his words. A good question that comes up then here is, what do we do with this? Where are we today? Do we find ourselves hanging on the words of the Lord? Do we find that his word brings life to us? Do we anxiously await the opportunity to partake of his body and blood? Do we find there's something great going on, and it's God speaking to you here today through his word? Do you find yourself relating more to the ones who are leaning in here, listening to the words of the Lord, listening to what he has to say, or do we find ourselves distracted? There's another great example of distraction that we also see from Luke's gospel. Jesus was visiting the home of Mary and Martha. During this visitation, one of the women, Martha, was distracted with much serving, the scripture tells us. But Mary, she sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to his teachings, his word. Martha, unfortunately, had missed out on what was really important. The word made flesh, come to dwell among us. You see, we, like Martha, can become so distracted with other things that we deem so important that we miss the mark on what is really important. And we can hear the voice of our Savior who says to us, as he did to Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Dear saints, let us sit at the foot of Jesus and partake of the good portion to be fed and nourished by his word. In our baptism, we have been cleansed for the presence of God. Jesus, by his holy suffering, death, and resurrection on the cross, has made us clean, declared us righteous. In the second chapter of Corinthians, Paul reminds us that we are temples of the living God. He has cleansed us, and his Spirit now dwells within us. This is God's work. You, like the blind man, can exclaim that I once was blind, but now I see. We see Jesus as our Savior, as our Messiah. The Holy Spirit continues to regenerate and renew us. The work which Christ began continues in us all through our lives. We live in the assurance that he died on the cross and rose again for our sins. We know that he continues to dwell in us today, temples of the Holy Spirit that we are. He proclaims to you that your sins of blindness and distraction are forgiven. He continues to call you through his holy word. He's present with us here in his supper. This is God for us. We have peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. By his willful obedience unto death, he won the victory for you and me. It's great news. The scale on our eyes, like the Apostle Paul, have fallen off. We were blind, but now we see. Live in the sure promise of the resurrected Jesus who now reigns forever. Know that your sins of distraction, apathy, laziness, blindness, they're all forgiven. There's nothing, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, that will ever separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. He himself died for all of those sins. And so the cycle of our life as the baptized Christian goes. When our sin is ever before us, we are then led back to our baptism, where in those waters we are secure in the promise that Christ there has called us to be his own, and those sins are drowned in those waters. We belong to him. While we eagerly anticipate the day that he will return on the clouds, we have the sure promise that he is with us here in this time, in the now. For he lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.